Listen to these words of Lauren Daigle's song called Valuable. Is there a story you've been told that put a stain on your soul? Was it handed down your family line, a memory you try to hide? Is there something in the distance that won't allow you to reconcile? Just remember, if you feel like you are not valuable, let me tell you there's more. If your heart is running in circles, telling your head things that are not true, what would God say to you? Every tear he catches with his hand, and he knows the way your heart breaks within. You're valuable. I sometimes think about how I was first introduced to God and how he might react to sin. See if this might sound familiar to you, whether you have personally experienced it or not. So God is looking over the sins of your life. They did that, forgiven. They did that, forgiven. They did that, forgiven. They did that? I'm pretty sure that's what Jacob may have been thinking when we meet him in the scripture text for today. He is on the run and so weary when he decides to get his rest on this pile of stones. He has cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright with a bowl of soup, and he has conspired with his mother to steal the blessing meant for Esau, the firstborn, from his father Isaac. Jacob believes that Esau is angry, so angry that he's ready to kill Jacob. So Jacob runs. In his dream of God, God didn't treat Jacob in the way that most would think he should be treated, or in the way that probably Jacob himself thought he should have been treated. Maybe he should have been reprimanded and told, "Shame on you, Jacob, for being such a trickster, for being a self-centered mama's boy. You are in big trouble now." Instead of hearing God condemning him or reprimanding him for his actions, God is actually telling Jacob that he is blessed and not alone. Instead, Jacob hears an invitation. He hears a reminder of family and of connection with God in this way. He is reminded by God that he is valuable. Pulling in Jesus' parable read today, we could have viewed Jacob as a weed. We could have said that he needed to be pulled out, but we would have been wrong. We would have pulled him out while he was still a small sprout and indistinguishable from the wheat. We could have thrown him away, not knowing that he was actually the wheat. How often do we, as a society, think this way? How often do we throw out those people that don't fit into what we believe is worthy of God's love or our own? How does society view those that are the least, at least in society's eyes? Inmates, the homeless, annoying people, politicians, lazy people, entitled people, the mentally ill, the physically challenged, addicts, prostitutes, adulterers, juvenile delinquents, or, and this one's been weighing on me in my own judgmentalness, a seemingly drunk man at a community dinner. And this list is not exhaustive. We must remember that every single person that we may believe is a weed may, in fact, actually be wheat and valuable in God's eyes. God sees us and knows our thoughts. God knows our words before we say them. God finds us where we may be, even in our own darkness. Darkness isn't dark to God. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to God. As the psalm reading stated, there is nowhere we can go to be away from God. Listen again. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. God is with us and meets us where we are today. In this way, we know that we hold value for God, for we are God's children. In Paul's letter to Rome, he mentions that we are God's adopted children. When we look at the practice of adoption in Rome during Paul's time, it was a very serious and very difficult matter. The adopting father would have to go in front of a Roman magistrate to present a legal case for adopting a child. Because a father had absolute power over his family, this became such a huge deal, passing a child from one family to the next. Paul's use of this term of adoption shows its significance to us in the consequences of adoption in the Roman Empire. Number one, the adopted person lost all rights in his old family and gained all the rights of a legitimate son in his new family. In the most binding legal way, he got a new father. Number two, it followed that he became heir to his father's estate. Even if other sons were born afterwards, it did not affect his rights. He was co-heir with them, and no one could deny him that right. Three, in law, the old life of the adopted person was completely wiped out. For instance, all debts were canceled. He was regarded a new person entering into a new life in which the past had no part. And four, in the eyes of the law, he was absolutely the son of his new father. By using this adoption verbiage, Paul is concluding that we are literally a child of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Our old life is wiped out and our debts, our sins, have been canceled. We are given the opportunity to wipe out our old way of life. We can be regarded as a new person entering into a new life in which the past has no part. Knowing that we are now children of God, we must acknowledge our value to God, just as Jacob had value, even though some of us may have considered him a weed and worthy of being tossed out. This all brings me back to the words of that Lauren Daigle song. Is there a story you've been told that put a stain on your soul? Was it handed down your family line, a memory you try to hide? Is there something in the distance that won't allow you to reconcile? Just remember, if you feel like you're not valuable, let me tell you there's more. If your heart's running in circles, telling your head things that are not true, what would God say to you? Every tear he catches with his hand, and he knows the way your heart breaks within. You're valuable. You have been adopted by God. Therefore, you are a child of God, and God meets you right where you are today, right now, in this moment. That thing you may be holding on to, and you know what that thing might be for you, that thing that causes you to think that this is the one thing that makes all the difference, possibly believing that that one thing is going to cause God to turn away or turn his back on you, I implore you to remember that your debts have been wiped out, even that one. Amen.